so glad that you've joined us today. And you are listening to That Guy's Mom. And not sure how you found out about us or heard about us, but if you're going through a time of life where you need some encouragement, you're at the right place. And we want to tell you about some additional resources right up front that you can go to the web and go to www.thematmayerstory.com. There you will find Matt's blogs where he's been writing from prison, and you'll learn more about why he's in prison and just the amazing things that have happened since then. And so if you find yourself going through the depths of life, or if you find yourself just struggling, stay tuned. And there's some great things that we have to share with you, because today we're with That Guy's Mom. Matt is that guy, and his mom is Ann Mayer. And Ann, it is great to be with you again today.
I feel the same way, Scott. I want to add to that little repertoire of resources. If you're not on Facebook, this will be difficult for you, but we on Thursdays participate with a group of people across the country and across the world in an event called Storming the Gates of Heaven for Tier 7 and Beyond. And it is through Facebook. You can go to that event page on Facebook and join us. You may send prayer requests in. It is a day of fasting in any way you choose, but we all pick Thursday and we fast, whether it's a few hours, whether it's all day, whether it's lunch, whether it's sundown to sundown, whether it's TV, whether it's anything. We ask that you join us, though, and as you are fasting, we ask for these specific prayer requests for those that are in prison and other requests that come in. So we don't want you to lose out on that blessing. That has really been increasing, and we thank Cindy for that.
Absolutely. And if you have tried to get on the webpage at different times, I think we've had so much traffic, it's gone down a couple times, so be patient with us on all of that, but great resources there. And today we hope to give you another sort of tool and equip you, as well as help you on your journey, as we talk about a very interesting character.
Yeah, you know, we've said it and we'll say it until the time we do our last show. This show is about encouraging people. Failure is not an option. We all fail. We all fall down.
Mm-hmm. And it's not final. Failure is not final.
Absolutely. And today we're going to talk about somebody. Now, this guy was known as a swindler. He had a seamy reputation of getting whatever he wanted by hook or by crook, or by both. He was a master of deception. He ripped his own brother off in order to climb their family tree. He pulled the wool over his own father's eyes, even when his father was sick, in order to make sure he got an inheritance. He later conned his father-in-law out of the best of his livestock when he was working for him. And so, no, I'm not talking about Scott. I'm sure many of you were wondering.
Yeah, surprise, it's not me.
It is not Scott. We are talking about a biblical character. And Scott, we've talked about before how interesting it is that the version of the Bible is unedited of seedy people.
Yeah, the whole past. In fact, you just look at Jesus' genealogy. There's a harlot, there's betrayal, there's just all sorts of seedy characters, yeah. Which I guess gives us all hope that somewhere we can fit in. But
That is the truth. And today's character had a conscience that was a bit calloused, until one day he was traveling and there's this river called Jabbok. And it was there that he had that moment. And you know what? Life is about maybe having those moments, those times when you just are halted in your spot and you say, what am I doing? Where am I going? And how's this heading? And here, this story is about Jacob. If many of you out there may have figured that out already, remember Jacob and Esau, they were the twin brothers, and Jacob deceived his father with the help of his mother, I might add,
right,
so that he would get the inheritance. And so he had been on the run for years, and because his brother was going to kill him, and now many years have passed. So he comes to this river, and actually, as those years have passed, that they were all the other things he did in the process was, you know, deceived his father-in-law and things like that.
Right.
So he was at a camp by the river, Jabbok, when he heard that his hairy brother, Esau, and I say hairy because that was part of the deception.
Right.
Jacob didn't have a lot of hair on his body, and his mom put fur on his arms so that when his father, who was going blind, would think that was his oldest son, and he was going to give a blessing to Esau, and he wound up giving it to Jacob. Just a little background. For those of you that don't know the scripture, you could find it in Genesis. It's a great story, and it's a true story. But in any event, Jacob's past endeavors were catching up on him. He had been running for 20 years, and he found out that his brother was right on his trail. At least that's what he thought. Now, this is interesting because, to his credit, the story goes, he did not run. He could have just taken off, but he didn't. And instead, he sent a convoy of gifts to meet his brother, and hoping that that would soften his brother's heart. And then he crossed the river that night, and he was, I guess, at a moment of introspection where he looked back and was tired of running.
Right.
Was probably tired of being that shady character. And here's where we learn an interesting thing. It was where it is recorded that Jacob wrestled with God.
Right. Yeah. It says he met a man on the other side as he went to spend time alone.
And they wrestled.
And they wrestled. Yeah.
And they wrestled the entire night.
Right.
And according to the story, this was a life-changing moment for, and it was actually a physical, it wasn't just wrestling in his mind, because he winds up walking with a limp from that time on.
Right. He's touched in his hip socket.
Yes.
Which means somewhere in the wrestling, maybe it was a, you know, he put his hand there, maybe he just touched him, maybe it was a move he did, and he actually wounded him. Either way, he was touched in the hip, and he was walking with a limp.
So
and for the rest of his life, it would be noticeable that he had a limp.
And what a reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so what happens here is he wrestles with God, and that particular night was a life-changing night for Jacob. He is never again the swindler. In fact, God changes his name from Jacob to Israel, and he would be known as the father of the nation. But all of that had to take place with Jacob coming to the end of himself. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that. He wasn't the only man to wrestle with God and with himself and his past. There's many people in Scripture that wrestle with their past. And believe me, there's many of you out there, including us in this room, that wrestle with our past. Maybe there's things like, let's just look at some of the biblical characters first, and then we'll talk a little bit about bringing this up to 2013. David and Bathsheba. You know, David's name would always be mentioned. People would know Bathsheba, of course. That's the affair he had.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, even in today, you'll
see. Can't name any of his wives.
Right, exactly.
You know, you can't name
right
a lot of other things he did, but yeah.
Everybody knows Bathsheba.
David and Bathsheba, yeah.
And today, in our day and time, people will hold things against you. You know, you'll see people, if someone will say, oh, you know, she had an affair or he had an affair. That's what broke their marriage up. It's like people brand you for that past experience that you had that wasn't so smart. We have Samson and Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will remember that. And that really has to do with lust. David had to do with an affair. That had to do with lust. What about Peter? Whenever we say Peter's name, what does everybody know?
Denied Jesus.
Yes. Guilt. Any of us out there have guilt? So our scandalous deeds have a way of finding us. And you know what, Scott? Everybody has something. So what we want to talk about today is, does it define you or refine you?
Very good, yeah. Well, you know, I get to talk to people a lot that it's come to that moment of realization, or it's come to that moment of, you know, I don't even know how to say it, because for some people it's an epiphany. For some people it's like a train hitting a wall. And you see some people where it's caught up with them, and they end up in the court system because it's illegal, and whatever the situation is. Some of them, they've got to go to their spouse and come clean about some things, whether they've hidden stuff they've hidden. Now, that could be everything from an affair to finances. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden they've got to come clean. And I've seen people say, well, I've prayed God would help me. I've prayed God would help me. In other words, they've wrestled with God in their own way. And what's ended up happening is he's answered their prayer, just not the way that they wanted it. And the outcome has been what needed to happen, but it sure was a painful way to get there.
That's a really good point. And I think if you're listening to this program and there are things in your past, there are some solutions we can learn from Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And first and foremost, it is don't run from it. Listen, everybody has something. And then confront it and give it over to God. That's basically, it's a pretty simple yet difficult process. because we've got to give up of our own self and right. allow God to work through it.
And it takes a whole lot of trust. We have to trust that whatever God brings about or allows to happen is the best outcome. A lot of times we can only see, well, the time in jail or the hurt it's going to bring someone else or even the hurt it's going to bring us. You know, it's going to put a blemish on our reputation. It's going to ruin us as a person. People won't look at us the same. So a lot of ways. And in the same way, Jacob walked away with a limp. It's hard for life to happen and you not walk around with a wound or two or more. Mm. Some of them are our own poor choices. Some of them are just circumstances of life, and it's just life.
Yep.
But it's hard for us not to walk around with a limp. And so often I meet people that want to hide their wounds and hide their limp. We can all see they're limping. And the reality is God gave Jacob that limp as a reminder. And we can't just run away from that. We've got to honestly say, listen, I have this hurt, this habit, this hang-up. I have this problem. And it's for God's glory and attention to give to him instead of hiding it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess so. As we're talking, I'm thinking we could have two aspects of this discussion. One is what you just said. You know, don't hide from it. Own it, turn to God, and allow him to work good from it. But the other side of it is for all of us out there that judge people. Mm-hmm. Or choose to remember that one aspect of their life, the fall. Oh, she was pregnant at 16. Did you know that? Or did you know he stole from his business? And these things are destructive to people. Mm-hmm. And many of them are just part of a past. You know, they're done with. Maybe the person has moved on
right.
and has encountered God. But there's those out there that want to keep them buried under that. I always even think about Paul. I've said this before, but he had to be the ultimate, that guy. Everywhere he went in the Christian community, it had to be, that's Paul. You know what? That guy used to persecute.
Yeah.
I'm still leery of him. Can you imagine,
I'm not sure I trust him. Yeah, well, the disciples didn't either.
Right.
They didn't want to receive him when he came to meet. It's just like...
Well, you know, and this is personal for me. As I was preparing, I kept thinking, my Matt... for the bad choice he made, will always be that guy. I can't see him even being a senior citizen where somebody might go, you know, when he was younger, he was a drunk driver and killed somebody.
Right.
The important thing to know, and that's okay. People can and will do that. I think it's something if we do it, we need to really clean our own selves out before we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, the person that is, quote, that guy or that girl or whatever your indiscretion was, you can't live through the shadow of people's judgments.
Boy, and let's make that point really clear, because it is so easy to live under your circumstances. It's so easy to become the victim or to allow your identity to become what has happened to you or what you've done. I want to encourage people that you can break out of that, and you really have to break out of that. It's a nasty cycle that all it does is steal life from you. And the reality is God is not the God of the past. He's not the one bringing up the past, reminding us of the past. He's the one that's moving us into a future, a new future, a future of hope. And so when you're reminded of your past or when you're living under it and it's oppressing you, then you really need to stop and realize that that's not the way you're supposed to live. And even for myself, I know that there have been different times when I've literally come to these defining moments and said, I'm not living under the past. I'm not going to let what others say or what my father did or, you know, what my kids do. I'm not going to let that define me, whether I'm a good father, or a good son or whatever. It's not going to define me, and be able to stand up and move forward.
It's not easy. I mean, they're great points.
Well, you know me well enough to know that that's all a struggle.
It is a struggle.
And that, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right. Oh, yeah, because I still struggle. You know, how do you sit somewhere and tell somebody that your son's in prison? You know, how do you do that without making yourself look bad? And frankly, we all care about how we look.
And that's whether you're telling somebody about what's happened or even switch roles to that person who's being critical. So let's just say we're at a party and I'm sitting over there at a table going, well, that's the mayor's. You know what happened to them? We want to knock them down a level. And we say we do it to make ourselves look better, but it really doesn't. You know, if anything, it drags us lower when we start criticizing other people and pointing out their flaws. And my experience has been the person who does it the most is the one that's hiding something.
That's true. I think people are the hardest on people on their own sin issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the person that steals is like, can you believe they ripped me off $2, you know, $2? And you're like, really?
So a great point of that. And being a pastor, this is a very much a real in my realm and industry. But we had a pastor who we were visiting with, and he was very upset about one of his staff that had had an affair. And he was extremely upset. I don't mean just saddened. He was angry, and he was visibly just shaken by it. And it turns out that he was having an affair at that very same time. And so he made a big deal about this other person and all this stuff. And reality is he had been having an affair, and it finally came out some years later. And you just want to stand there and look at the guy and go, really?
That doesn't surprise me.
You're the person that was standing as a chief executioner.
Well, that's usually the way it is. I think you hit that. I mean, I really do. I've seen it, and it's kind of sad. So I think we all need to evaluate, where are we most critical?
Yeah. We're the people who are most critical probably have not wrestled with God or healed or realized they have that limp. Because I think Jacob, when he was turned that night and then turned into Israel later, that marked not a name change, but a real heart person change. Esau changed. And he wrestled with God that night, came away still wounded, still with a limp, visible, but different.
Right.
And I would hope that people would be listening going, you know, whatever I'm going through, I hope it's helping me become something else, or that it is changing me, because then it is way more worthwhile when you know that there's an outcome of this that will be better.
That's awesome. When you can have that kind of past actually be the springboard to your future because of Christ, your transformation is a direct result of that, then not that you want to say that it was a good thing you had it, but it was certainly something that God used. And Jacob came to one of those end of himself moments, and that's what happened. He wrestled, faced it, and then turned back and had this meeting with his brother, and his whole life was in a whole different trajectory. I was thinking, as you were talking about, everyone knows the famous story about Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, and they bring her to him.
Yeah.
And he begins to write on the ground, and, you know, history, it doesn't say it in the scriptures, but history or commentary writers will say that, what was he writing on the ground? And they believe that he was writing the sins of everybody that happened to just, the mob that just brought her up.
Yes.
So they were seeing maybe their own individual sins in the sand there. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I've read several different commentaries and people speculating, and even what used to be oral tradition that came out of the early, our desert fathers, as they call. But I've always found it really, really interesting that they never brought the man.
Oh, yes. Well, I was just reading the other day about this, and they said that really, they believe it was a setup anyway, because they really wanted to trap Jesus.
Right. Whoever the man was, was caught in the act also.
Right, exactly.
And, and just to think that at that day and age, it was probably one of the elite group.
Probably.
And what, did he volunteer to cast lots?
Exactly.
Well, I wonder how many of the men were standing there going, well, don't pick me, but they have their hand up going,
exactly.
pick me. I mean,
it's interesting.
And then for Jesus to bend down, and maybe he wrote the name of the man.
Oh, yeah, could have been.
Maybe whatever he wrote was profound enough that when they looked at that, they realized it's not that Jesus wasn't going to give them the answer, nor was he going to bite on the situation.
Yeah.
But yet he was going to, by his authority and by his very nature of being God, he laid it out for him and said, really? And either way.
Turn the whole plot up on its end.
Oh.
You know?
And that's a great thing I want to say. When you've met the real Jesus, when you've really had an encounter with him, he does turn things upside down. He does. And if you find yourself in life and you're really, even if you're atheist and you're listening to this, I would just challenge you that if you're going to meet the real Jesus, it should turn some things upside down. Mm-hmm. And that's not always a negative thing. It's not always a comfortable thing. But I've known far too many people who go, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I say, well, tell me about your encounter with Jesus. And like, well, I went to this service or my parents were Christians and I look at them and say, so you've never really had an encounter with Jesus in the sense where you really felt a change or some kind of change or impact in your life? And a lot of them will go, you know, like, look at me like, what are you talking about?
Well, that's the problem. Again, in our country, we have that easy believism, and there have not been people that have had true encounters, and they're just walking along life kind of like chaff, being blown here and there and everywhere. And God doesn't want that. He desires intimacy. He desires relationship. And in this particular situation, he's going to encounter us right where we're at, and it is going to, it's going to change things up.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is we need to, as whatever it is our issue is, we need to come to a certain point that we surrender it to someone who is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-loving and all-graceful.
Yeah.
And allow him to take our stuff and then not look back. We don't have to live in defeat, in worry, in guilt. You know, there's a song I listen to on my iPad, and it starts out with, "Hello, my name is Regret. I'm sure we have met every single day of my life." And it's that whisper in my ear. But then he concludes the second paragraph. He's had an encounter with God, and he says, "Hello, my name is Child of the One True King." And I love that song. I love listening to it because that's who we are. We're children of the King.
So Esau could have very easily continued to be angry. He could have very, very easily rejected the gifts. He could have put Jacob in a really bad situation. And Jacob had no idea. They weren't texting or emailing. You know, it was a whole different concept and a whole different mindset in those days. And so Jacob very well could have run, like we said. But instead, he had this encounter. And he chose to stand there and let it be something that developed him in his character. And so if people are listening today and you're wrapped up in a situation and you don't see a way out, it seems overwhelming, we want to encourage you today that you can make it through. Not only can you make it through, you can come out of it on top. Not that you'll be standing on top and shining like the sun, but that you'll make it through. And whatever the outcome is, you will be a better person for it. First and foremost, when you really trust who God is and trust him in your life. And if you've never done that before, it's a great time to do that.
Absolutely. And I, again, going back to the origination of this radio podcast, is our story. And Matt really is a prime example of someone who, yes, he lives with this terrible fact that what he did took someone's life. But if he lived every day under that, he would never be able to do anything effective for God. Instead, he chooses to take that pain and fuel it into passion for not only for Christ, but for the cause of his victim.
And he could spend all his time in there thinking about the past. He could spend every day with an overwhelming sense of regret that weighs him down. I know that just this morning, and I wish I could remember what the deal was, because I was regretting something I had said. And this was from years ago. And I remember stopping saying, you know what, that's not something God's putting in my mind, and I'm going forward. I'm going to block that out. I'm going to change it. And I remember turning on music and focusing on some Christian music, some great lyrics, some good words. And even now, I can't remember what it was. Well, you know, any of us can spend time letting that regret overwhelm us, or we can let it fuel us, like you said, Matt has done, and let us fuel us to into the future, into what God has and who he wants us to become.
Absolutely, because nobody's perfect. If there's anybody out there that is perfect, could you kind of let us know? We'll have you on as a guest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Probably by the time you sit in the room with the two of us, you would not be perfect. You would be annoyed and impatient and not very happy. But we did this show today so that we could say, we don't care what your past is. Whatever your past is, put it behind you and just go on knowing that God will meet you where you're at. It's not a difficult process. And when Scott talked about the fact that he started to think about something today, about in his past, I always say if there's anything in my mind accusing me, Satan is known as the accuser,
absolutely,
not Jesus.
That's his name.
He's the accuser. So if it's accusation, I have to rebuke it and say, nope, sorry, Jesus covered that for me.
Yeah.
And we all have that. So we're going to conclude our show today and encourage you to be that Jacob. You may walk with a limp after, and it may not feel like the greatest thing, but be that Jacob and face God and lay it on him. His shoulders are way bigger, and he could bear it all.
And this is a great place to continue this journey. And we hope to take the journey with you. And that you, if this is your first podcast you've listened to or radio show, we encourage you to go back and listen to some of the others. We have some 80 or 90 of these that are just little vignettes that you can grab hold of in the midst of when life happens to you. So make sure you grab onto those. As always, you can always shoot us a Facebook message, join us on Facebook, and that would be great. We'd love to hear how these shows are encouraging you or if you ever have any questions.
And as usual, we end every show with our favorite Bible verse, which is Psalm 46:10, which says, "Be still and know that He is God."